hear that word for the role we play as men in our families, in our church. I was a little late here because I was been pushing all week long to get ready for the summit that starts tomorrow. We have our leadership summit. And really, it's just perfect timing to have Jay here, as we really, as men and as a church, really need to press into his presence. And so I'm excited for all of us together to hear from Jay. I think Jay represents to a lot of us a hunger to hear God speak to us. I mean, just to know his word. And so I want to encourage you as we hear it through the word of God and as Jay moves among us in prophetic ministry, that the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows that thing you're hungry for today. And so let's just believe together as Jay comes. Will you welcome him? Go Jay.
I think it's really love you. Yeah. Amen. Well, what a, okay, PT, thanks. It's a tremendous honor for me to be here. I was telling some folks I was with last night when I got in that what a great honor it is for me to be at this church a second time this year. I love it. So Pastor Sean and I have been talking for some time. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, Linda says, you can't be telling people that. I said, well, I want to be there another time. So I think these 6 months intervals are perfect, you know. And so it's warmer, though. You know, I'm getting a little bit more Travis-like, you know what I mean? I love being in the sun, yeah. So it's just, you know, I got to work a lot harder, though, because it's been raining a lot where I've been, so I'm not quite there yet, obviously, but I'm working on it to be like my brother. But again, what a great honor. Tomorrow, a tremendous time. And really, a time in our society and nation where the hope remains with the people of God. The hope remains with what we know Jesus Christ is able to do in and through us. Not only that, is desiring and passionately is wanting to. I'm going to take it to us to a story tonight. It might surprise you when I begin reading it, but you'll know where I am. Out of the book of Luke, and then we're going to look at the book of John, some verses, and then I'm going to pray. And I want to take us there, and I really want to us to live it out. Linda's in the next room. The ladies are all stoked up. They kicked me out. I just went in there to see how she was. And I think Joyce kicked out her husband and me pretty close to the same time. They were as ready. Yeah, that's right. You don't belong in here was kind of the word I got. Yeah. Okay. Luke chapter 10. The youth room changes every time I'm here, it seems like, right? Now the stage over here, and I know the wall's not done over there, but I'm sure the young people think that's cool. They might even start building their houses someday like that. Walls with nothing on them, that's kind of... Maybe that's an image of what the church is to be like, I don't know. But I like it. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, I'll read King James. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village in a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about by much serving, and came and said, Lord, dost thou now care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, whenever you see deity double enunciate, it was Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, something's changing. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. John chapter 12. One more gospel over. You guys doing okay tonight?
Yeah.
Appreciate Pastor B, Brendan, with the worship and the music, right? So appreciate his spirit and heart. Yeah, I just do. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, he knows. Yeah, I do. So love it. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, and whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The Gospel of Mark will say that she poured it on his head all the way down to his feet. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment given for 300 pence and given to the poor, sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put in it. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Let's pray. Father, again, I just want to so thank you just for the incredible honor for me to be a part of this great church, this great people. Lord, this has always been a state that has played a great role in our history. Let it be that way again. Do something this weekend here at Cornerstone that'll not just shake the East Coast, but shake the entire U.S., the entire Americas, the entire world. Do something with us. I know this, you've been very clear. It doesn't take an army of people. It just takes one to believe, two to believe, three. Here we have a great number. Tonight, do something in our hearts. Begin with me. Alter my way, alter my pursuit. Create a desire for you tonight that surpasses everything we see or face or have. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's at the end of his third year. I'm going to have to get off the stage and come down there, I'm sure, in a few moments. It's just at the final end of his third year. 6 months from the time he will be at Martha's house will be Passover, will be his death. It's 6 months away. Since the first year of his ministry, he has become famous. First in Galilee, that's where he started with the miracles and the changing the water to wine. It was there that the Galileans began to follow him. By the second year, as he passed on into Judea, the lower parts through Jerusalem and the lower parts of Israel, he had as many as 10,000 people following him. Just eating bread. They would come to houses and tear off the roof to lower men. He couldn't even get away with his disciples. They were thronging him. I want you to know that he was famous, man. There was nobody more famous in the entire nation like him. His name was talked about in every place. Even with Pilate, even with Herod, they were talking about him. Rome had begun to hear about him. The nations around Israel began to follow him. He was the most popular, famous name, night and day. People talked about him. They would come from all over looking for him. I want us to know that because can you imagine having the most famous person in the day over to your house? I want you to think about it. Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem. I don't know, how Martha was able to get him to come. I don't know if she knew somebody. We don't really know. Luke doesn't describe it, nor does Mark. We don't know if she had a connection, or we don't really know why he was coming or for what reason or who set it up. But she was about to have the greatest person on the face of the earth in her home. I want us tonight to realize the pressure that brings. I don't know, was it a month or two weeks? Man, when I'm visiting somebody, are we going to have a special guest at our house? Sometimes it's as much as 6 months in advance. Linda's already nervous. I mean, it's a long time away, and she's already starting to plan. You know, you all of us in this room, to some degree, have hosted somebody, and especially with somebody that we are really longing to meet. We don't even know, and as we read it, Martha had never yet met him. I'm sure she heard about him because of the fame, because of his name, because of the miracles, because of everything he had done. By this time, he had raised 2 from the dead. He's going to raise her brother in 3 months. Lazarus is going to die. 2 from the dead. He's multiplied bread. He's walked on water. He's healed the sick, cast out devils. They have not seen a miracle since Daniel walked out of the lion's den 600 years earlier. That's how long it's been since they've seen anything. It was so electric there. I can only imagine, if you don't mind me playing like, she must have thought, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming to my house. You know what? I got to really prepare it. You know how this is. I mean, everything went in the closets, I'm sure. Get the shoes, put the things away. Mary, pick up your stuff. Lazarus, come on, you got to put your books away. I mean, we got to make our house, the house has to be perfect for him. I mean, he's like no other person. It's got to be absolutely right and perfect. I'm sure she must have considered, what would he like to eat? I wonder what his favorite meal is. Even me, no matter where I go, people are asking, so what do you like to eat? What do you like to drink? With him, it would have been far more than that. I'm sure his favorite meal was lamb. I'm sure it was. And if he wanted the dessert, it had to be angel food cake. But we're not sure. But I have a feeling that that could have been possibly, you know. She must have begun thinking and preparing. Even the neighbors must have thought, why is Jesus, did you hear that Jesus is coming, you know, of Nazareth? Yeah, the miracle worker? Yeah. He's coming to Martha's house. You're kidding. I mean, why? I mean, what would be the reason for that? I don't know. And I'm sure some people thought, why not my house? And I'm sure people followed him there. So Martha, all this time, has this, as I said, pressure that's on her because Jesus is coming to her house. She probably went shopping and was looking for the finest things. She was already thinking, you know what? I want him to be pleased. I'm sure he's been in other people's houses. I'm sure he's gone to other homes. I'm sure he's been at even palaces or greater people than me, for sure. But I want him, when he comes into my home, I want him to be pleased. I want to be everything to be fulfilling to him. I want him to find joy, happiness. I want him to be so comfortable, he won't want to leave. I want him to say that Martha's home is the best and greatest home I've ever been in. She had to be thinking that we would think that. So I imagine that day was coming. Again, was it a week before, a couple days before, and then the day finally came? I don't know. How anxious would she be? I would be anxious. I'm getting anxious just talking about it. I mean, she had to be so nervous. She probably had the special seat for him. That's where he's going to sit. Lazarus, get out of that seat. I told you that's not just for Jesus. Go. I'm your brother. Shh. It's not Lazarus' house. It's not Martha. It's not Mary's house. It's Martha's house. Probably had the chair, and she was waiting again. She had the kitchen ready. Everything was in the kitchen. She was going to start cooking, and everything's so special. I mean, just it creates an anxiety. It creates a pressure, just knowing that you want everything perfect, just knowing that, I mean, it's Jesus. I mean, it's him. So when he came, I can only imagine how it must have been for her. Luke's words are beautiful. She receives Jesus into her house. Maybe the disciples must have stayed outside. They might have gone somewhere else. They weren't there. It was just him. At this moment, 2 miles away from Jerusalem, the greatest man to ever walk the earth, the greatest man in that very day, he was the most popular man. Here he is sitting in her home. I don't know, did she talk to him? How are you? It's good. Can I get you anything? What would you like to drink? Anything? I mean, anything? How about if I give you water? I hear you turn it to wine. She probably said, you're good. And you know how he is. You know him. There was never a more gracious man. There's never a man when she or any one of us look into his eyes where you see such peace and love and tenderness and passion. It was everything he was. There he was, just in her home, sitting there. I'm sure she went into the kitchen finally and kind of just began preparing everything. Maybe the oven on a little bit and just started the pace a little bit. I gotta have this right. I mean, you know, he's probably hungry. He's been and look out there and she would see him and I'm sure he's gotta be ready. And so she starts the cooking as, you know, for some of us maybe we don't do that very much though, but I've watched my wife, I've seen the pressure on her, my mother, my grandmother, especially someone's wanting to cook, there is that pressure. We would have it even if we weren't in the kitchen, knowing that someone's coming that's very, very important. We'd want everything right. And so she's starting to cook and stuff's on the stove and now she's really getting a little anxious now because, I mean, now it's time and the lamb's not really right and, oh my gosh, the angel food cake has kind of flopped down a little bit. I don't know. She's starting to get stressed. Jesus is about to use words that says she's getting mentally consumed with what she's doing. I mean, it's consuming her. She's getting agitated, angry, upset because of the pressure. I mean, I understand that. I understand it. She's wanting everything to be right, everything to be perfect. I get it. So finally, she's starting to pace. I love what she's thinking. She's thinking, because we hear it, doesn't he know what I'm going through? Oh, you know he does. And what I'm amazed at, and I don't like, he says nothing. He's just sitting there. He knows what she's going through. He knows that she's in there pacing. He doesn't have to see her. He can hear the steps. He can hear the, I can't believe I'm in here. I need help. And so she finally realizes that, where's Mary? And she looks out. I'm sure she would do what my wife, especially my Italian side, would do. The hands would be on the hips like this. With that look, stern, that look that would just melt your face. She's looking in, and Mary's sitting there. And she goes back in the kitchen. She starts saying it. I can't believe this. I'm in here alone. Mary should be helping me. I mean, I'm trying to do everything to please him. I'm trying to do everything to help him. I'm trying to do everything to fulfill every desire he has here in my home. And is anyone here helping me? Even he isn't suggesting or telling her or something. I hear he tells people what to do all the time. I hear even the devils obey him. And here I am in this predicament here, trying to be everything he wants me to be. And there's not anyone, not even my sister, to help me. So I don't know how long it took. She must have been in there now. She's just steaming. She could care less about the, you know, she has a, my wife would do this, a little slamming of the oven, a little pan banging, just to make sure, just to be sure that they know she doesn't like this. Finally, she gets the gumption. She storms out. Doesn't say anything to Mary. Her words, Jesus, don't you care that I'm in here doing all of this? I'm in here taking care of everything. I'm in here putting you first. I'm in here doing everything you want. I'm in here trying to be pleasing to you. I've already had the pressure of you coming to my house. Don't you care that my sister is not helping me? I love his words. They're incredible. He looks up. He's not angry. He understands. He looks up at her and says, Martha, Martha. And she must have just been like, his words are, you're cumbered about, you're stressed. He says to her, listen, you're so anxious. You're consumed with serving. See, I love this, my brothers. Please hear. The serving wasn't wrong, but she was consumed with it. The serving was right, but she was stressed about it. She was overcome by it. I so relate to her. I mean, she just it was all for him anyways. He'll say to her, Mary has chosen the better part. It should never be taken away. So, you know, something's occurred in our lives. I want us to see it tonight. I love Luke's language. He says, Mary received Jesus into her house. For me, it was 38 years ago. You know what we literally did? We received him into our house. We were born to be servants, not just us. A nation of servants, including the ladies, us, all of us. We're born servants. When Jesus comes, he doesn't come as king and priest, though he is. He doesn't even come as savior, though he is. He comes born a bond servant of his own father. He will say to his disciples, I didn't come just to be served. I came to serve and give my life ransom. He'll say it in 1 week to them. They don't even realize who he is. It's who he is. The serving isn't wrong. I realize, and it's helped me with this. How do I know when it's getting too stressful? You see, as soon as I got him in, you felt it. You and I both have an anxiety, a pressure. You know what the pressure is? I want him to be pleased in this house. I want this house to be clean for him. I want him to take pleasure in it. I want him, when he speaks to anyone, to let him know, you know what, I love being in Jay's house. You put your name there. We, all of us, are living with that pressure from the very beginning in our inception into the kingdom. We've been living with it. It's almost burned us out, especially us guys. It's almost crippled us. It's split so many relationships because where there were two sisters here that were about to be split over one anxious and pressured. She has the right to be pressured. I sometimes would look at Mary and say, it's not your house, Mary. No wonder you don't care. But it's our house. And see, we've been living under it since he's come into our house. He wasn't the one requiring it. We just felt like we needed to do it. Whatever his will was, whatever would be pleasing to him, whatever would fulfill his appetite, we want it. It's right. I know this now. Whenever I'm at the point where I'm watching what people are not doing for me and with me, that's when I've come to a dangerous place. I start thinking, where's my help? Where's the people walking with me? I still have the pressure of it now. Where's the churches? As soon as that happens, I realize it's too anxious. Somewhere in here, we got to be able to be servants of the Most High. We've got to be willing to give our lives to Him, and we've got to be able to do it with such joy and satisfaction, no matter what anybody else is doing, no matter what anybody else says. Listen to what He says. Incredible. He's talking to Martha. We don't know yet if she likes this. She doesn't answer him. She probably, like I would do, is walk away, just like, what the heck does that mean? She's chosen the better part. I mean, that's the better part? Whose opinion is that? We don't know yet her response. We will shortly. Listen to what he says. He's sitting there. Mary's at his feet. He says, Mary's chosen not the only part, but the better part. No one will take it away. Luke uses a word here that I've got to just talk about for a few moments. He says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his word. There's two key words for the word in the Greek language. Three, but two key ones. One is rhema. It's the revelation word. It's the direction word. It's kind of sometimes mixed in with what I'm going to do. Sometimes I have a teenager. I didn't go to a church this year in Texas. The kids were upset. They were crying to the pastor. The youth pastor says, why? Well, how am I going to know what I'm supposed to do if Jay doesn't come and tell me? I said, you got to tell her that. That's not how that goes, but that's how they were. It was a cute thing. I mean, I just thought it was so much fun that they were that she was acting like that. But it's this word of direction. It's this word of this is the future. It's even a word sometimes that washes or corrects. It's this rhema word from God. It's we were born to hear it. It's true. That's not the word he uses. Mary is not sitting here getting the daily devotional, getting the direction, getting the word from the Lord. What am I supposed to be? Where am I going to go? What's my calling? It's none of that. He uses the word logos. It's just thought. When it talks about Jesus, it's a complete thought of the mind and heart and hiddenness of God. But in here, they're just dialoguing about nothing. She isn't asking her, how did you do the stars? It's none of that. It's just intimacy. They're just talking. You see, I got to tell you, I was raised from the very beginning, as soon as I got born again, 22 years old, I began to understand, first of all, with my own dad, you would know this, my relationship with my father was instructional. What should I do? Where have you been? Where are you going? What are you doing? That's how it was. My grandmother raised him the same way. All authority I've ever had was, what should I do? What am I supposed to do? Am I wrong or am I right? And the idea, though, that if I was with them, it was going to be some level of correction, some motivation to get me to do something. That's how I understood it. Even when I got born again, I understood I would come to the Lord when I needed to know what I was to be, what I was to do. How do you feel about me? Is this okay? I need some inspiration. That's our relationship. Me getting from him, I never, ever considered that he would just want me with him. I had no idea. Mary's just sitting there. They're talking about nothing and everything. Six months have gone by. We only know him. It's a difficult time because he's been telling his disciples, for a year and a half that they're coming for me, they were like, whatever. They were so popular. I mean, they were getting almost as famous as him. They would say to him, "You're with the Galilean." They go, "Yeah, that's right." I mean, their pride, you have to know that none of them were educated. Matthew and possibly Judas, that's it. They were unlearned. They couldn't read or write. They were from the other side, if you will, of the tracks. The southern part of Israel had nothing to do with them. They were just a little above the Samaritans. Man, they were loving. I mean, they were starting to get a little bit of, they got a little New York going. I mean, they just kind of started, yeah, that's right. Even Thomas was starting to say, maybe this is true. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it could be true. Maybe. I mean, it was really affecting them. It was. I mean, it was just like 3 months from the date that Jesus was in Mary's house, Lazarus dies, and he raised him up. 6 months from the date. I love John's writing. Mark and Matthew both write it as well, but I went to the John portion. Jesus is back in Bethany 6 months later. He is not in Martha's house. He's in Simon the leper's house, who was healed. I see some incredible things. I just want you to look at with me. So here they are in another man's house. I wonder, did Martha hear him? Did you see it when I was reading it? Martha was there serving. I'm thinking, wait a minute. The same woman who in her own house was grumbling and distracted and just overtaken by the pressure of it, now she's in someone else's house doing the same thing? I thought Martha got it. Listen, my brothers, please. What a church we're going to have here. You know why? Because not only will we serve in our own house, in Jay LaRue, you put your name there, not only will we serve in our own houses, and we'll do everything he's asking of us, though, but we'll get in other people's houses, and we'll serve with our brothers, and we'll walk with our brothers, and we'll help our brothers. It was that way. She was there serving in Simon's house. She was cooking. I mean, the same woman who was frustrated, nobody's helping me, it was all about her. Now she's willing to come somewhere else and serve. I love it. She got it. I didn't know if you noticed the other thing. No, I'm going to punt it a little bit. You okay? You good? So they sat like this in this day. It was a low table. They reclined. So I'm sure it was Jesus and probably Simon because of who he was on the other side. I would imagine it was Peter, Andrew, Philip, and Nathaniel. They hung together. On his side over here, he always put his head. It was always John. Always was near Jesus' heart. James, Matthew. Probably Thomas, Simon the Zealot, James the Lesser, Judas not Iscariot, and Judas Iscariot. The whole room was filled with men. I want you to see it. The table was large. Simon's house is big. There were men of fame. There were other men there. The 12 disciples and other men were there. Lazarus was there eating too. I just love that. Lazarus is doing nothing. The guy wasn't doing anything the first time. He's still not doing anything this time. He hasn't learned much since he's been resurrected. Yeah, he's just sitting there. I mean, he's just eating. And Martha's not in the vacuum. Can't believe Lazarus with his male chauvinist garbage. How come he sits? Something's happened. My brothers, 6 months? Someone's changed like that? I know friends of mine, colleagues of mine that are still struggling with the anxiety of him being in their house, that wondering if he's pleased, wondering if he loves being there, wondering if his appetite is being fulfilled, wondering if the will of God is being fulfilled. They're struggling with it. I understand. Jesus didn't say to Martha, "Martha, you're wrong, you're off." He said, no, you're just stressed over it. You're just, it's overtaking you, it's overcoming you. Serving is who we are. Then what is it then? I've had my Bible college students ask me. I've had friends ask me of recent. "Jay, I don't get it." "What do you mean you don't get it?" "I don't understand the sitting at his feet. What does it do, really?" I used to require all of my freshman students that they had the journal. If he said nothing, I always wanted to create a place to meet with him. A place to dialogue with him. Oh, sure, I still love getting the prophetic word. I love giving it. I still love hearing from him. I love the revelation of the word, man. I live for it. But it's paled compared to what I want to show you now. They would say, what's the value? I don't know, man. You want me to just find time to be with him? You want me to sit with him? You want me to sit at his feet? What is the value of it? Is there real value, Dr. J? They say it like that without all the body language, but they mean it. Oh, yeah. And so I said, okay, I said, I just want to tell you the story. They go, okay, so I start telling the story to him, just a conversation. I said, do you remember Mary came in to Simon the leper's house with a, it would have been probably marble container with spikenard? And they go, yeah. You have to know, I just want to say to you, you have to know the value of this. I want to tell you, I'll tell us. It was worth a man's full year to 2 year salary. Think about it now. Think about it. So what are you making here? $20,000, $50,000, $80,000, $250,000, $500,000? I have two friends of mine, both in New York, are both millionaires. They don't like this story much. I love them, though. But because it's valuable. Here she comes with it. John says, Judas says something. Mark's account is, everyone looked up like this as she opened up the cover and literally was getting to start pouring it. They all were indignant, almost insulted, all of them. As they looked at her, she starts pouring it on his head. Judas says nothing until it gets to his feet. All of them were indignant. They all thought, what kind of waste is this? And she's crying and wiping his head and his feet. Even when I look at it, it's almost like, wow. I mean, I always thought it's a woman. I was wrong. I'll say it, I want to tell you what the value is. Isn't it incredible? John and all the 12 apostles have been with him for 3.5 years. They saw him speak. They watched him cast out devils. They saw him walk across the water and they didn't recognize him. They watched him get up in a boat and calm a storm. They saw lepers who would be our AIDS or our Ebola, you name it. They saw him speak to it, touch it. Are you kidding me? You were to stone them. That was the law. Oh, not him. Bring it over here. He knew there was nothing impossible for him. He knew it. He knew that he had the Spirit of God without limitation. They saw it. They heard his words. They watched him as he would go off every morning and spend time with his Father. They watched him multiply bread. They saw him. I don't understand how they can hear him and watch him and he not be more precious to them than ointment. They, after all this time, still did not see his value. How is that possible? How is that possible to walk with him and watch him and see him, to live with him, hear his word, and you still don't know how precious he is? How valuable he is. How does she carry in her greatest treasure? How does she find him more valuable than anything this world can ever provide? How is that possible? I want to tell you how it's possible. It came from sitting at his feet and hearing his word. It was there in that private place. It was there in that sitting with him and hearing him. It was time invested. So they'll say to me, and many times my pastor friends will be crying across the table. And they'll say to me, Jay, I said, I know. I've lived so stressed, so pressured. I want to produce everything for him. I want to change the world for him, just like us. I want to turn the world upside down. I want to see the entire world affected by him. I want to see generations move, older, younger. I'm longing for it. I want the revelation and manifestation and demonstration of his power in every church, not just this one, but in this one, definitely, and that one. I want it all. But I realize the key to it all is sitting at his feet. Don't you love this? I'm almost finished. If I were Mary, I would have stood up and said, "Shut up, Judas. Thief, punk, fathead, liars, conniving fool." Yeah, you know. She got a little bit of little testosterone going in there. Yeah. Hey, John. Oh, yeah. Your head on his chart. I love you, Jesus. Yeah. Where are you in all this, huh? Hey, Thomas, how about you? I know. You don't know. And how about you, Simon the leper? He healed you. Mary says nothing. You know why? Listen. Please hear this. Jesus said to Martha, Mary is doing the needful thing. The phrasing is the thing that will sustain her entire life. Watch, and nobody will take it away. Nobody will take it away. I'm wanting in my life, in our lives, the no need to defend myself. I'm just not, you can say what you want. I'm not moved by it. I wish I could tell you that I'm not moved by it, but I am very moved by things. Some things that are said. I'm struggling with some things. I know, though, but I go right to my place, though. I can't live without this. I have to have it. You have yours. It's a chair. Maybe it's a walking place, but there's got to be some time. What does he want, Jay? I don't have time. It's a minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Oh, it first started with me. It's 5 minutes. I can't get enough now. I know all my friends think, unless people who know me, a lot of guys, Stephen, Jay, you got the best job in the world. So you preach on Sunday once a week. You preach the rest of the week. You just do what you want. I said, well, it's not quite like that. It's a little bit. All right, so you do Saturday and Sunday, like three times. Is that, would that be right? I said, well, it's not really like that either. Well, why don't you tell me? I'm not going to. Does it really matter what I do? It doesn't. I don't have to. Can't live without it. It's relieve the stress, the strain. Do I want him to be pleased in this house? I'm here working in your house tonight. Brandon worked in our house tonight. So did he. Aren't you? I'm glad. I want every house to be pleasing to him. I want every house clean. I want every house where he is so absolutely enthralled with being here. I want every house where his Father and him abide and they sup with us. And he reveals his Father to us. I want that house in every house. But I realize, though, our world has duped us as men. Oh, I love working hard. I think it's a great thing. I do. I don't have any problem with it. I like it. And I won't tell you my schedule. It doesn't matter, really. But I do realize, though, I wish I could tell you I never banged pans and wanted to bang heads and was so overwhelmed with the need to fulfill his will that at some point I was agitated with everybody, and I started to get on the people who weren't walking with him. I had a judgmental attitude. I just began inside of myself, of course. I knew better than let it out here. For me, 30 years ago, sitting here, I want you to be more valuable in my sight than anything else in this world, including my wife, who I love tremendously, including my family. I want you to be more precious. I want you to be more valuable than anything this world can offer. This world's treasures could never, ever take us away, ever. That's what I want. Do you know he came for that reason? It is his passion. He didn't say to Martha, "You're off target, Martha. I'm sick of your attitude." He would never say that to us. But he did not come to rescue Martha's stress. Stand with me, my brothers. Jesus said, "Let her alone." Judas wasn't really irritated. I know what they were thinking. Those are guys. This was really, I know they're thinking, "Stupid woman." That's what I thought, guys. I was raised that way. That women do that. That's a woman's thing. I thought to myself, I didn't want to say it to the other men. Well, man, put a wig on me and a dress. I want that. I mean, I want that. Are you kidding me? I want that. I want that. I want that. I want him to be that valuable treasure to every one of us. So how about just maybe eyes closed for a moment? Couple things this do. There was a time I didn't know him like this. Some people think, "Well, Jay, you're special." No, that's not true. This is a place of equality. All of us, he's opened a place for all of us. It's just a choice. If you want to come, it's open. If you don't want to come, it's all right. We're born to be servants of the living God, and we're servants to the church, servants to our families, we're servants to this world. So, my brothers, just ask him. I don't want to do language for you. Just maybe, Lord, help me find a place with you. Strengthen me. Take 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. Just maybe go for a walk around the neighborhood. Maybe just get the place to get our eyes back on him, his value. I ask him, I want you to be more valuable. I can't make it up in my mind. Only he can do that, but he's willing. Father, I'm asking for us. Begin with me, though. Let me never be satisfied with what I have, even if it's more than anything, more than anyone. No. You modeled it, Jesus. You and our Father, you are one, the two of you. John will say that we saw you. We saw them. They were it. We just saw. We saw God, and we just saw it. We saw a human become one with an invisible God. I'm asking tonight that your grace be upon all of us, no matter what our age, our function. Every one of us in here have different levels of responsibility, different levels of talents. The 10 talent has more work to do than the 1 talent. It's just a fact. But I know this, though. You'll take the 1 talent and give it to the 10 talents. You'll have 11. You're not afraid for us to serve. You're not afraid for us to work hard. You love it. You love rewarding it. I'm asking tonight, though, a place, a secret place, a place of intimacy in all of our lives. Let us hewn it out of our day. Let it not be taken away from us by anyone. Yes. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about just giving the Lord a hand for me, all right, please? Yeah, appreciate his word. Beautiful. Great story. It's very challenging to do a woman's story with guys, though, just so you'll understand, though. It is, though, but it's beautiful. I'm convicted by it. If you need healing tonight, let's believe. There's not a place that I don't go. From children's church right down to whatever is the age or the leadership level or whatever, we need to believe for the miraculous power of God. Yeah. I'll just encourage you. I laid hands. I was just in a place. I prophesied over 2 people. Well, they were getting healed. The kids were getting healed. The people were getting healed. It's beautiful. But I was having the kids lay hands on people. Not this on Jay LaRue show. This is us. But I prophesied over this one guy. I just started speaking to him, and I saw the Lord just rewiring his head, just rewiring it like an electricity, like a ball of wire, just rewiring it. I said, "The Lord's rewiring your mind and the way it works right down through your." He just looked at me and just did like a lot of things. Just looked at me. It's fine. I'm good with that. And then I went over to another guy. I swung around after several people to another one. I said, and I was saying something to him. He had been so beat down, verbally abused. He was probably 40, 39 years old. Incredible the sorrow I felt, you know, by the understanding of the Lord for him. I began to say something about his past and his father and his ages. And as I was going along, I said this to him. This isn't to impress you. It's not doing it. I just want you to hear this. I said to him, "You've been declared disabled. Tonight, the Lord makes you enabled." So I did like 3 or 4 of these words. I was like digging it. I was thinking, whoa. I'm a poet, and I didn't know. No. His brother's crying, comes over to me. His brother's a pastor. He goes, I want you to know that this past week, he was brought into a group of doctors, and they said to him, you'll never work again in your life. You're disabled. So I'm just saying, what cannot our God do? The first boy, he was the pastor's son. I didn't know it. They've tested him and said he's mentally retarded. The father says, I can't believe what you were saying. I said to him, let's believe together that the Lord will do it. I didn't know anything about him. It was the Lord. I mean, why not? Right. Why not here?
Yes.
Why not now?
Yes.
Why not there? Why not now?
Yes.
Why not in our schools in Richmond? Why not, what's the university that's you have? VCU. Why not there? I'm believing for every college. Why not there? You want to revolutionize the world? Let the colleges get turned on. Oh, baby. All right, if you need healing, just raise your hand. Any of it. Especially middle back, neck, especially. Really issues with sciatica. Feet problems, just the feet are always hurting. A real pain in the chest, in the heart area, just this constant inner throb. I just want you to raise your hand if you need it. Okay, look around, guys. Guys, let's pray for anybody who's got their hands up. That young man back there, how about over here? All right, that young guy right there back here. Right, you had your hand up for that my young brother right there here. Yeah, good, Tim. Good to see you, Mr. Brock. Nice to see you. All right, lay hands on Brett over here. Go, my brother. Come on. Yeah, do it. All right, it's gonna be easy though. So there, we have a concern in our world. The Ebola is not as fearful now. We got some mosquito in South America. I understand. I'm not a big news watcher of that stuff, and I guess we got some new things somewhere else, and so my doctor friends are always, and my prophet friends are always telling me that new disease is coming, end of the world stuff. I said to them, well, have they named it yet? And they said, no, they're going to name it this week. Well, fine, as soon as they name it, it's under the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So I said, what are you worried about? Well, he says, they say to me, they try to be realistic. Well, Jay, come on, be real. I'm being real. This is real.
Right.
It's under the name. We've got to believe that.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name,
yeah,
just say it. Be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed.
Yeah.
Be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Beautiful. 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 In Jesus' name. Beautiful. Yeah. Great. Be healed. Be healed. Thanks. We're recording up there, right? I'm sure. We're recording, I'm sure. Yeah. What's his name? Yes, David. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Just another second. In Jesus' name, be healed. We're recording. Great. Beautiful. Beautiful. Kick his ear. Good to see you. All right, just another second. Just say it one more time to begin. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. The release of the power of God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Good. Give the Lord a hand. Beautiful. Great. The Lord is really, we good, right? We're recording. The Lord is really shifting in your direction. You know, there's a favor of God that has always rested upon you. What's happened, though, sometimes is what he does is he doesn't always exercise the favor. Sometimes he allows it to be stressy. He allows it to be uncomfortable. He allows sometimes wilderness. He allows sometimes desert. Sometimes it's just his way. Isn't it amazing? There's probably 600,000 men, maybe 3 million people. Only one man knows the way of God. It's Moses. In a whole time period, it's only Moses. It's phenomenal. But it's his way. He's not mad or angry. He has a way of developing his sons and his daughters by his choosing. The beautiful thing is the sons and the daughters can trust him no matter what's going on. But my brother, listen, the Lord is really returning to your home, first to you, then to your marriage, your wife. You're going to see him move upon your children. You've been waiting for the promise of God. That's what you've been really waiting for, both of you really believing. And every level, your children, business, family, your family, her family, you've been really waiting on it. And it almost, you never would doubt, but the weariness has begun to creep up. You're saying, oh, I just look at my gray hair, and I'm getting older, and I don't know if I can keep this pace up. All those things are true. They're not kingdom, but they're true. So the Lord's coming to refresh your spirit, both of you. You're going to see it. It'll be like right now, it's like springtime, April wind, April flowers, April fruitfulness, May fruitfulness, that kind of fruitfulness in the natural world, the natural life. That's going to be a spiritual movement and dimension of God coming to your house, to your home. It's going to blow through the business even. You're going to see everything blossom, everything bloom. It's going to be like, what? And listen, you've got to know, even in this place right now, the Lord is going to require more out of you amongst this people, this cornerstone, its leadership, its your position, your place, your love for the people, your love for the church, your love for the leadership. There's going to be a fresh demand, but in the fresh demand, though, the Lord is going to give you energy and spirit that'll be greater than any task or any responsibility. This is a good day to take a deep breath and know, no matter what happens with the election, this is my big parenthesis, I don't care what happens in our world. The word of the Lord and the promise of God prevails. It prevails. It prevails. Men could have all kinds of ideas and all kinds of connivings, but the word of the Lord, it abides forever, and it'll be so. So this is a day to understand, rejoice. Even with your own children, it's a good day just to, I don't want to say reconcile, but regroup. Even some messages sometimes say, hey, just want you to know I love you. Hey, just want you to know things are going to be okay. Just want you to know it's going to be all right. Just want you to know that God's in control. Things like that, you know, actually true things. But things that sometimes we're not always sure, we're not always secure with it because we ourselves are wondering at sometimes. But I want you to know, though, my brother, the favor of the Lord is returning in a great way to your life. From this day forward into your final breath, the favor of God will rest upon you and upon your home. And the Lord will keep his covenant with all of your family, including your own family. I just remember seeing your brother. I knew when I saw your brother at the restaurant that day, I knew that the day the Lord would come for him. And the Lord, in his time, will even come for him, his own family. They don't realize that your willingness of you and your wife to struggle through relationships and to walk through, as it were, sometimes muddy waters and to walk through sometimes swampy areas in relationship. They don't realize, though, your willingness to be faithful, the Lord has come to answer it. And it's because of you and her that the Lord will lay a sickle in both your families. Beautiful. My young brother here, yeah, how you doing? Good, yeah. Believe it or not, I was with some people that were talking about you last night. It was all good stuff, though. Just so you'll know, if you want to take him outside later, you can. He looks easy to me. Yeah. But God is, there's some shifting going on. That's your brother? Your friend? Yeah, okay. I know him. Yeah, okay. You guys could be brothers. There's a change coming to your entire family. So I now know who your parents are, but it's really beginning with you. It doesn't mean you're going to change your family, and it's not going to be like that. But the Lord's really drawing you to another place. It isn't been that you've been distant with Him. It's not really so much that, but a lot of it hasn't been. I don't want to use the word real either. In other words, sometimes even in my earlier days, as I was saying here, I learned things about him, but I really never knew him. That's the best way to put it. It's like people know sports. They give me all the sports on LeBron James. Like, they know the guy. They never even saw him play in a real game. They watched it on TV. I said, you talk like you know him. Well, I kind of know him. It's the same thing. It's sometimes with God is we know about him. We've heard his stories. We know what we're supposed to do, but there's this gap. Incredibly, Jesus came to make up every gap that ever stood between creation and creator. Is he upset with that? No. What he does, though, there's a time of the visitation of God. There's a time that he draws near and begins to make up the gap. It's when he comes and makes himself real. Linda's tonight going to talk to the ladies about Zacchaeus. Isn't it amazing? What a story with Zacchaeus. The guy's little and he's trying to get through the crowd. The crowds are all big. You know, it's like when I'm standing behind Brett, you know, I can't see a thing here. The sun's gone, the moon's gone, everything's just teasing him. He's little. So what he does, he finds a sycamore tree and he climbs up because he has one cry. He wants to see Jesus. It's a great story. She's saying it with the ladies now. Beautiful story. Because sometimes we're little, it just feels like everything's against us. It doesn't feel like we can reach him. We think he knows. And so as soon as Jesus up in there, you know the story. Jesus says to him, I'm coming to your house. Isn't that great? Came to Zacchaeus' house, came to Martha's house. And then I didn't know what I was going to share until we were coming here. I said, what are you going to do the Mary and Martha thing? She goes, with the guys? I said, yeah, with the guys. I am. It was good, I thought. I liked it anyways. So that's what's happening is the Lord is making up this gap, my friend, and he's drawn near to begin to make himself real. You don't realize it doesn't mean you have to do me, but from the time you were in your mother's womb and the Lord had to do some turning of you in your mother's womb, the Lord intended for you to be a man who walked with him, a man who carried his word. It doesn't mean you could be a businessman, you could be a lawyer, doctor, you could be a school teacher, you could be whatever you want to be. He'll help you with that. He's not impressed by anyone. What he looks for, though, is a man who will stand representing him, whether he's a president or the garbage man down the street. It doesn't matter what's in a man's pocket or what's in a man's bank account that moves him. He's just looking for a man that he knows will be faithful in the place that he has been set. And my young friend, you're super talented. You got a creative mind and a real ability. And you've always grown up, I don't want to say behind everybody else, but you had to kind of, you know, make your way through things because you have that tenacity within you, though. You got some of it's that red hair, part of it's the red hair, but you do, though. In a way, for you, there's nothing impossible. I know that I can do it if I want to do it. That's always been the question, what you want to do. But the Lord is coming to arrest your heart that you would be fully his. There's tremendous men throughout the scriptures, you know the stories, that weren't preachers, pastors, they were nobody. It's Nehemiah, it's Mordecai, it's Esther, even Daniel in his younger years. No, they didn't call him a prophet until much later in his life. He was just a young stud who thought, you know what, whatever. God is great and I believe it. That's it. This is what's happening. You're going to see the next 3 years especially, your whole life is going to be, I want to say redirected, but it's going to be. You could finish school, career, you could make those decisions, but the Lord is turning you upward, that your heart and passion will be for him. And my friend, in that day, the Lord is going to be adjusting so many things in your life, your future, home, love, family, even the people that you are going to, you're set to influence people. You're born for it. And the Lord is coming to assure you and prepare the people that he'll send you and set you among that be willing to hear you. This is a great day for your family because it's not just you, but your brothers, your whole family. The Lord is just drawn near and making incredible adjustments. I need to say this, though, because sometimes people hear this after and they'll say, well, what was wrong? It's not that. It isn't that way. I have a chiropractor friend who loves to work on me. I don't know why. I know, like, she pulls and tugs and rips and cribs and does all kinds of stuff. But she'll say to me, you got to be adjusted. I said, no, why? She goes, well, I saw while you were preaching, you had trouble turning. I said, that's because I worked my shoulders today, so everything's tight. And so that's what I tell her. And so she makes me come to her office, and she'll start doing some stuff. And I'll say, why do you do this? She goes, you don't realize, though, everything flows smoother and faster. You're really more in tuned when I tune you. I like the way she said that. I thought, okay. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing, my friend. He's drawn near to cause every part of your being to be vibrant toward him and that his spirit begin to cause you to walk according to him, his disciple, his son. Everything, you know what a lot of this is? You go home and blame your mother because your mother so prayed for you since you were in her womb, laying her hands on her stomach as she was growing. And she wanted this son to be his fully and this son to represent him like is in what her imagination was for him. The Lord's come to answer that cry of your mother. And dude, let me tell you something. You will not be disappointed. Don't think this life means strain, stress, and I can't be who I am. Oh, on the contrary, he's come to bring great freedom and great liberty to you, but he's come for you. The Lord is really, he's bringing you to a new phase of your relationship with him. He's allowed, really the last decade has been this phase. The Bible would be glory to glory to glory. That would be Bible. inside of the glory of God and every dimension of God, we start off as a younger, Peter will describe it. That's why he's always, you younger be submitted to the elder one, all of you be submitted one to another. When we start off in a new glory, we're rookies, if you will, but then we walk a little ways and we're no longer rookies. We've been here a while, we've tested it, we understand what he wants to do, and he brings us to a point where sometimes, I know it's almost frustrating. We're wanting something, and it is what it is. It's time for the next glory, and it's only him that can do it. And so my brother, what the Lord's done is he's allowed this whole decade. He's been with you, and he's spoken, and he's blessed, and he's honored, and he's secured, and he's graced you. And he's brought you to this place where he's coming with a fresh direction. It's going to be like this. If I could have a dimmer switch in this room, and these lights are on at 30 right now, and I could go over to the dimmer switch and push it up to 90, the increased illumination, the increased light, everything becomes clear. Everything, I could see everything, the cracks in the walls. I could see things that I never saw before. Everything, it illuminates. That's what happens. That's exactly what it's going to do. And you're going to see him turn up the light. You haven't really entered into the full blessing of the Lord yet. You haven't. There's going to be another decade, and then a decade after that is going to be greater than the next decade for you. But you're at this place of entry into a new place, a new dimension. And with the Lord is he's beautiful, because what he does is he strips off old garments and he re-garments us. So sometimes in this middle we feel a little odd. We feel almost naked. We feel uncomfortable because we're not the same. Something's changed. And you know, it'd be like this. So Saul tried to give David his armor, and David said, I can't do it. It was a new, everything was new. Everything was new with David. It'll be just like that. Everything is new. It is a good time to just fully surrender. This word is good for all of us because all of us go through it. All of us come to these dimensions. And when we get to the end, he's not stripping us like, I'm sick of what you're doing. No. Old garments, old ways, old habits, old. He loves that. You know, he renews us day by day. I like it day by day. When he does it this way, it's incredible. I'm saying it to you, but I'm saying it to all of us so that we get it. And you're going to see the Lord strengthen your heart, especially as he enlarges you. He'll enlarge your heart. He'll enlarge your compassion. It'll be as though everything is increased. It'll be as though you're the same person, just larger than that person. And what the Lord will do is the word increase will follow you all of your days. The Lord does not fear the increase. But he's coming, and in his enlargement to you, you're going to watch him, even within your words. You're going to find the word of the Lord in this way. It's going to come sometimes in incredible encouragement. Incredible. It's just like the Lord is developing a sword. Some of us have a shield as a tongue. We block everything. Some of us have a spear. We just shoot things at people. Some of us have a sling. We throw stuff at people. What Jesus has is a sword in his mouth because it's the word of God. And what it does is it brings incredible deliverance, healing, and wholeness. That's exactly what he's doing. And he's erasing everything else. We get things. I got things from my dad. We get things from family. We get things from life. And he's taken away all the weaponry that we would use to push and connive and all of us, especially me. So that the sword, the word of God, is the one factor that's there. He doesn't mind it being long gold with you, though. It's this way. It's beautiful. It's fully silver. You see, the level of restoration and recovery to the blind, the halt, the maimed, in physical life and in spiritual life, you and Mecca, the family will do. And the Lord is strengthening it. And he is reaching to your family in a way you have never seen before. You must and you can hold on to this hope that your family, not your immediate family, but your extended out family, the Lord will come for them all. And you will see salvation overtake your people, overtake your family and hers. He's coming for all of them. And my brother, the levels of giving will be larger than you could have ever imagined. And your willingness to give, it's going to be done in such silence that no one will ever know. People will not know, but the Lord himself will hold account of it. Do not think that he will grace you and give to you and enlarge in you. What will be the cost, somebody might say? It's one cost, and that is this, that you love him with all of your heart, all of your soul. I know you do. And that he be fully yours, and you love your brother the same. You will see the Lord extend things wider. I'm not going to talk much about it. at this point, because it doesn't have to be. It'll come in its periods. But the Lord is, many people will come through and find salvation there. And in other parts of the world, they will find salvation through the work of God, because he's going to not just bring the silver to you, but he's going to extend the silver out. If you have your hand on it, the silver is coming on it. Like if I could touch this and skin would come on this, like this would be transferred on my skin. You'll lay your hands on it and silver will magically take it off. It will magically cover it. It is always, so you'll know, redemption, reconciliation, restoration, refreshing, recovery, all these RE words. But that is the beginning. This new dimension is in the horizon. Before the year is out, you'll sense a change. Before October through September, you're going to sense a change. It's just going to be like, it just changed. And you're just going to find a level of the grace of God and the word of the Lord in places, in word, in desire, in movement like you've never seen before. The Lord has come to fulfill his word. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I go to 8:30 probably, huh? Five more minutes. Yeah, okay, good. It's always a pleasure to see you, because I can remember everything I said to you like it was now. And so some things will be repetitive only because it is so now with you. You're an incredible treasure to the human race. You're an incredible treasure to to people. You are like an alabaster box to the community. You are like the oil of Gilead to the community. And there will be a pressure by the Lord for you to continually rise up in the ranks. You'll sense the need to seek the highest possible place, in not just in your own profession, but even in the community. It doesn't mean you run for president, but you will have a place in legislative areas, legislation in the years to come. Because of the way you are, the Lord has done this. You're the Nathaniel set in this place. You're the Nathaniel set in your office. You're the Nathaniel set at work. You're the Nathaniel set in your family. You just no guile in your mouth. You're not. And so even as the Lord saw Nathaniel, began to declare things over him, and Nathaniel would go, well, that's impressive. And the Lord will say to him, if you believe this, you haven't seen anything yet. That's the truth. And so the Lord is going to begin causing his word. You're going to be able to carry the gospel into places that it's not allowed to. And they will ask you to bring it. You will carry the gospel to places that are literally illegal now by law, our own laws, that you cannot speak about the gospel. The same guys who wrote the laws are going to ask you to talk about the gospel, that kind of a thing. They believe in it. You will, much like Daniel stood with Nebuchadnezzar, much like Daniel stood with Cyrus, much like Esther stood with King Artaxerxes, you'll be a man who will stand with mighty men, great men, men of stature and men of power, that you'll stand with them to talk with them, to speak to them, to encourage them. They will trust you. That's how it'll be. That's what happened with Daniel. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, all the kings, Belteshazzar too, they trusted him because of the spiritual man that he was. I'm not saying that, I'm not using the prophet's part. That doesn't have to do with anything. It's this incredible ability to influence. That's why they were there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the same way. Incredible guys. And so, my friend, it is a day, though, that you're going to find the Lord. I like this. You're very practical. Almost to the negative. You're so literal. You have a great faith, but it's literal. See, this carpet is black and red. Yeah, I know, but it's black and red. I know that, but it's black and red. All right. It's black and red. I can see that. There are some other shades in there. Yeah, but the shades are still red. Ugh. The shades are black. You measure things exactly. I mean, if you're counting out change, 10, 11, 12, 13, how much? 41? 41. Yeah, you got it to the penny. That's right. You're just that way. Garage, neat, everything is in this place. Everything about life is in this place. And the Lord loves, I'm loving this because he's snickering. He goes, look at him. Isn't he cool? With you, because of that. But you don't realize the integrity that it takes in a man to walk that way. Some people will say, excuse my language, he's anal. Some people will say, well, I wish he was a little looser. All of us could be a little looser. The people call me anal. I'm the anal. I'm not anal. What are you talking about, anal? They're just undisciplined. That's what I say about them. But anyways, it isn't that way. He's really designed you. You got this perfect blend between your father and your mother and your grandfather's mixed in there. It's just how he's wired you. It's just how he's made you. But he's been different with you than with your father's generation and your grandfather's. There's really a grace, and there's a tender eye toward the weaker person. Some people who are under you, even they are responsible to you, they would say it, though. They know that you're safe to come to. They know they could speak to you. They know even if they fail, you would not be exposing them all over. You'll do everything you can to cover them. Everyone knows that about you. That's where the integrity. Some men demand integrity. Some men never say anything. And when a man speaks about another man, that's very integrous. And my brother, please, this is the day to begin to dream beyond your own ability. This is a day to begin to believe beyond what you know and see and understand. It doesn't mean the Lord's not asking you to get into some fruity, flaky place. It's none of that. But it's a place, though, where it's not possible. That's where we're to live. We were born out of the not possible. We were born from the place that doesn't exist. We're born from the invisible world. We're born from heaven. That's how we've been born again. And so he set us in the impossible. He started us in what's not probable. We are to be people who live in that it can't be, it can't happen. It's not logical. This is our place to live. And God is going to advance, and God is going to begin to cause a freshness of his spirit to awaken and to rise within you, that you would begin to believe more than you thought possible. My young brother here, so the Lord is really, it's beautiful, you know. I love school. I do. I wasn't a good student, though. You don't know me well enough. I barely got out of high school, D average. I hated learning. I didn't read a book until I was 27. I didn't. I just fudged everything. I cheated. I just did everything. I don't understand. A D? Yeah. He would say, you didn't read that book. I said, I did. Well, for me, reading was looking at the pictures and reading the back page. That was reading to me. I wasn't really lying. I was just kind of fibbing a little. But then the Lord got a hold of me. It was incredible. And so I did go to actual college. But what he did was he set me in the school of Christ. Now, I didn't know it. I didn't know the school of Christ had kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I didn't know that. In kindergarten, I had to learn to say thank you. I had to learn to be honest. I had to learn forgiveness. I wasn't good with that. So I don't, you know, like even now, Linda catches me in something, I'm wrong. She'll say, you can't say you're sorry, huh? Well, I'm acknowledging I'm wrong. That's saying sorry. I still have a little trouble with that. You know what I mean? And I think I'm afraid, though, the Lord's going to like get me back in the third grade. When I was in college, I had to go to the third grade because I forgot how to write cursive. So part of my college classroom, they had an elementary school. I'm sitting in the third grade with those big letters learning how to write. And the kids are looking at me going, what are you doing in here? And I say, none of your business. And they say, you're kind of big to be in here. And I say to them, wait till we get in recess. I'll tell you a thing or two. And it was at times humiliating, at times difficult, but I knew this. It was the Lord who was schooling me. Oh, I had pastors and teachers. I knew the Lord. What I had lost in my younger years, what I didn't get from my dad was eighth grade, what my family didn't have because of finances and money and ambition, we just didn't have it. I lost so much. By the time I was 20 years old, I thought, what am I going to do? I didn't let anybody know that. And then at 22, I get born again, and it's incredible that the Lord would comfort me. And even my friends go back now, they say to me, what do you do, Jay? And they'll laugh, and I'll say, yeah, well, don't you need an education for that? I say, well, I got a little. I used to go like this, I got education. The Lord's humbled me a little bit. It's been helpful to me and to them. I want you to know that the Lord, he separated the mountains, and he made a way through the concrete to bring you here. He opened up what was not possible to cause a young man who he's declared his son, his child, that he would begin to raise up his son, that his son, though under tutors and governors for time period, will be this way. He will cause his son to have a Christ and a Christology within him, have a nature of Christ, even in his eyes, in his tongue, even in his nostrils. When he senses things, it's going to be according to the way of the Lord. Because you know how the Lord, he lives everyone in this room. It's not about black or white or Asian or Latino. It's not about that, man. It's about us. It's us. He loves us just the way we are. And my young friend, you know, I love this guy right next to you, man. I have fallen in love with him. Plus, he's got that skin, you know, you got it too. Yeah. You know, and he's got that walk too. You ever see him walk? He's got that. He just got it. I was watching you in the sanctuary with your wife kissing her. I saw you over there. I saw you kissing her in the sanctuary. And you got it too. You know, you're like, yeah, I like it. I liked it. But isn't it a beautiful thing how grateful I am that the Lord would look down. Now, what am I? 38 years ago, looked down and saw a 22-year-old kid who was really going nowhere, who was in love with him, who really wasn't sure about his future. Isn't it amazing that he went and he took him to himself and he brought me to a place and there they groomed me. There, those men are still involved in my life now after all of these years. I couldn't believe it. It was hard for me though. I learned to trust him because I didn't trust men. I didn't trust authority. I was raised to not trust authority, not to trust this and that one. I was raised that way. So it was hard for me to be willing to yield. But isn't it an incredible thing? A podunk kid from some punky town in Connecticut, the Lord would see so fit. He feels that way about all of us, that he would bring me to a place. It was in the Carolinas for me. It's in Virginia for you. And my young friend, the Lord will do more in your life in these next 5 years, if you will hold on to him. Remember, Saul chased David around for probably 15 years. And that young man, still, in all of that, the Lord had his hand upon him. Joseph would dream, and they would sell, his brothers would throw him in a pit and sell him off to Ishmaelites. 13 years he'd be away in prison, yet the Lord can still do it. It'll be said about Joseph that the Lord was with him. And that young man served his prisoners, served the men. Incredible men. These are our men. These are our family. We're brothers, and that is where we've come from. That's our root system, not anyone else. I love my father. I love my mother, but I'm not of my father or my mother. I love them. I'm of him. We're his. And my young brother, you will trust him and you will yield yourself to him and you and your wife. I'm just telling you by the word of the Lord, you will not believe the people who know you, even the father who didn't know you and the ones who thought they knew you, they will not believe what the Lord will do because it'll be hit by his grace and by his learning. You won't stand up and say, look what the Lord has done, but you will stand up or you, as I would and say, look what the Lord has done. Please, I want to say it again. He opened up. I mean, it was like almost like prison. It was like almost like rock. It was not possible. You couldn't get out of from where you were. And the Lord, he spoke and the mountains opened. He can do that. And he flattened everything that would resist you. And he brought you to this place. It was his choosing because he loves his son. This is an incredible place. It is a place of mentoring and it is a place of nurturing. It is a place that God will raise up young men and young women that will become world changers. And can you imagine? He sought out a young man and brought him here. It is